All right, turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 5, 7. We're going to talk about casting your cares on the Lord. How many of you got some kind of care? Amen. It's good to have cares. You got to care for something, somebody said. All right. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. I'm reading the King James Version. And I'm also going to go to the Amplified Classical Edition and the Passion Translation for this scripture. And we'll read them in the suggestion that I gave you. Casting your cares. Learning to cast your cares on the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
It's good to be in God's house together, praising God. And we're not restricted. We have a full praise, amen? Full praise, thank God. All right, did you get my notes back there? Praise God. All right, let's go ahead. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, King James. Peter is talking to leadership. He's talking to elders specifically here. And I think if you care about a lot of things, you not only care for your family, but you care for a whole bunch of things besides your own personal needs, and you got other things there. So Peter is telling the leadership there, the leaders, the elders, the pastors. He's saying, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. That's the King James Version. Brother Hagin used to say, that's a little bit blind to us, or we can't see clearly what it is, what he's saying, because sometimes you often look at different versions of it or just look at more what the scripture is saying. And so that's why we use different versions to give you, because they give you different words and they bring out the words. And I like the classical version of it, the classical, amplified classical. He says, casting the whole of your care, not just part of the care, but all of your care. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, seven times a day. No, he says once and for all. In other words, if you got a care that you could take this to the Lord and trust him with it, put it on him and leave it with him. Leave it there. Don't take it back up. And the challenge of the fight of faith is that mulling around in your brain, thinking about it over and over. That's called a faith fight. When you have a faith fight, you're not actually fighting devils, but you're fighting your thought life, which actually the devil tries to send to you. And so, once and for all on him. Because if you keep casting the same care, you go to God and you cast it again, then it tells you that you haven't really cast it on the Lord. It's telling you that you didn't release it yet. If you're always casting the same care, always going to God, praying about the same issue, the same concern, then you really haven't cast it upon the Lord. So this is why you need to understand faith. So if you don't understand faith, you can't pray the prayer of casting your care upon the Lord. This is a type of prayer you do. So he says, cast it on your husband, you know, your wife. Cast it on your employer or your boss. You know, you cast it on him. For he cares for you. So notice that he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. In other words, he is really in tune with how you're feeling and what you're thinking, and he's really caring for you that much that he's watching you, watching all about this concern. I like one version of the scripture that's Psalm 138, verse 8, one of my favorite scriptures lately over the last couple of years, I guess. It talks about it there, that, you know, that God is, let's turn to that scripture, actually. Let's go look at it, since we're there. I think we'll look at it in another version as well. I haven't really put that in my notes, but I want to look at this verse. Psalm 138, let's go. This is talking about, let's see here. I'm a little bit slow right now, because I was actually stalling. I didn't know what I was doing. Did you say 138? And did I say verse 8? Psalm 138, verse 8. Let's go there anyway. Psalm 138, verse 8 says, "The Lord will work out His plans for my life." So when you're casting your care upon the Lord, well, He's going to take that care and work it out for you. You believe that? Or is He going to say, "Nah, I don't want to. It's really too hard for me. It's just really complicated. This one is very hard. Hey, Peter, come over here. Let's go ahead and pray about this a little bit." He said, "The Lord will work out His plans for my life." That's the New Living Translation. The Lord will work out His plans. You think He'll work it out for you, your care? He said He'll work out His plans. You know, He has plans for you, but there's somebody that's trying to disturb that plan. Well, that's not your husband. We go back to him again. It could be sometime, but if that's the case, He'll work it out. Right? So He says, "For your faithful love," and I like that when Scripture says, you know, the Lord, the compassion of the Lord, you know, is every day. God's compassion is every day, renewed every day, renewed every day. If you mess up 20 times this year or 20 times this week or an hour, he'll still receive you. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
No matter how many times you mess up, He's there. God is for you. Everybody say, "God is for me."
God is for me.
Say, "God is with me."
God is with me.
Say, "God is upon me."
God is upon me.
Say, He works through me.
"He works through me."
So see, God's like that. You know, He's wonderful, right? Oh Lord, endless, your faithful love, oh Lord, endures forever. He said, "Don't abandon me, for you've made me." I don't like that latter part of that version, because we know that God will never abandon you. Of course, that's the person talking. So, you know, you ever talk to the Lord like that? "Please, Lord, help me." I know this is very hard for me to tell you this. This is real hard. I don't know if you'll solve this. Maybe Jesus will have enough power here. Let's look at the Amplified Classical Edition. Why don't we just read the whole Bible tonight together? Would it be wonderful? Look at the whole Bible. The classical version says, "Oh, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy and loving kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands." That's wonderful. I want you to go over with me to, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. I thought we'd take a little journey. Amen? It's good for a little journey. In fact, let's go to chapter 1 first and go to verse 6. We'll visit chapter 1. Then we go over to chapter 2. Let's read verse 3 first, because I like it. He says, "Every time I think of you, I get so mad." Is that what Paul told them? He said, "No, every time I think of you, you know, I spit on the floor." No. "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make requests for you all with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I'm certain that God who began," did God begin a good work in you? Did He start something? You think He'll finish it? He said, "No, this is really too hard, but Ken's too hard." He just he says, no. I don't know about this guy. Okay, so he says there, verse, let's go ahead and read it. God who began a good work in you will continue His work until it is finally finished, until the day of Jesus Christ returns. Well, God is not finished with you. So if you got some cares and you messed up, And something happened, and somebody else messed up, because how many people know that you might not mess up, but somebody else might mess up? Yeah. Amen? Is He still going to work it out? He will, if we stick with Him. Now let's go ahead and read this, the Amplified Classical. Paul says, I am convinced. That's strong. I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time he returns, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it into full completion in you. Amen. Woo! Well, praise God. We can do a little dance right now. Praise God. Amen. Let's go to chapter 2. Finally get to chapter 2 where we're supposed to go. I think we're going to go to verse, I'm really having a hard time right now. Okay. Let's see. 2. And let's just pick any verse of scripture here. No? Chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2. And I want to look at verse... Man. Verse 13, it says here, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You know, there's some things that you're following God, maybe you have cares, but you kind of got off there somewhere, and now you got extra cares because you didn't care about the following through. It says that God, who began a good work in you, he'll actually give you the desire and power. Sometimes, you know, you don't want to do some things for God. You know what is wonderful? That God can give you a desire to want something, to love something, to need something. Whatever it is that you're having a hard time, I would pray that, God, give me a desire to read my Bible. Give me a desire to go back to church. Give me a desire to serve in the ministry like those people. I want to love you. I want to serve just like the other person. Because you can lose your desire to serve God. You can lose it, and you could just lose the appetite to do the things you used to do for the Lord. I know I think about my past, how enthusiastic I was serving God. I had a letter from a guy today who said, I remember, you know, when you were a brand new Christian, a baby Christian, and how you loved Jimmy Swaggart. You know, and how you used to do all those things, and you were just enthused about it, and went to church and all that. And I would do anything just to serve God. After I do personal work, I'd go to the mental health hospital and talk to people and just go visit people there, go to the detox and spend my evening there, whole evening there, and just talking to people from addictions and just encouraging them, picking them up, and going on the street and handing out tracts and praying for people, just asking if I could pray for them. What happened? You know, and so we could still do that. You know, I don't know what you did, but I did it. I prayed for people. I saw people get filled with the Holy Spirit, and nobody taught me how to do that. I just went ahead and did it. I just followed what it says in there. Just believe it will work. Let's go read one more verse of scripture, one more version in this verse. The Amplified Classical of chapter 2, verse 13, Philippians says, not your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire, both to will and to work out for his good pleasure and satisfying delight. I thought I'd add this in you because sometimes we're not so obedient in following God. That's where we get into trouble. So back to 1 Peter 5:7, Amplified Classical says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. The Passion Translation says this, pour out your worries and stress upon him and leave them there, for he always tenderly cares for you. You know, the burdens of life and the cares of this life can become so unbearable at times. We have, many of us, you know, have felt this way from time to time at some point in our lives. Whether this may be a family affair, this care might be an anxiety from the family situation. It could be from a relationship issue you're having with someone, maybe a son and daughter, or maybe it could be your relative, close relative, your brother or sister, sibling, older sibling, or any kind of relationship issue. It could be a financial strain that you're having right now. It could be a work-related employment issue. A care could come from there. We know that can happen. Sometimes it could be regarding a physical issue you're having. You're suffering from physical pain and you don't know how to solve it by yourself. You got issues walking. You know, I found today, I was taking the dogs for a walk behind the dog park here over in Centennial. And, things can go wrong in your life. It could be one small issue that could bring you down. A small issue. I was talking to my wife about little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things in life that'll throw you off. Yeah. So I'm walking with the dogs, and all of a sudden I felt a pain in my foot. And so what happened was my nail split in half and got stuck inside my shoe, and it pierced into my flesh and cut me. So I couldn't walk. So I'm in the bush. And so by the time I got back to the other end here, and I didn't have my keys because I couldn't come back in this office. So I called my wife, and she's way over in Fort Francis. She might have been in Fort Francis. She's over in Westport somewhere. She might have been. I say that because, you know, it's a long way. It seemed like Fort Francis to me. But I'm walking there bloody foot, crying, with two dogs. And they're like dying from thirst and ready to die on the street. So I'm so happy, fortunate. That's one of the best times I've ever seen Pastor Ken drive into the office, because I see him coming in there. So I'm going to go there. So I went there. He's there. He didn't know I'm suffering. So I went into the room and ministered to myself and prayed in the Holy Ghost. Healed myself. But anyway, just that one little toenail, it stopped me. You know, something little like that can stop you from following the things of God. Just the little things in life. It's not always the big things that affect you. So we can have any kind of physical trials. Could be mental health issues. Could be a lot of things that are cares. So this verse of Scripture here that we just read deals with all these issues that we just mentioned, these cares. This Bible verse is for some of you that are experiencing right now a care, an anxiety, a concern, a burden that you have right now. This addresses that issue. And also, it could be for some of those people who will have cares tomorrow or next week. You might not have very many cares today, but if you're going to live, you will experience something that's going to be, somewhat tough. It could be tougher. Some cares are stronger than other cares. Some cares last longer than other times. Some cares, I was listening to this one thing that, sometimes you have to fight a battle more than one time. Some battles you fight longer than other battles. I listened to different ones, different people having different things. My sister had a heart attack 2 days ago, and it seems like everybody's calling for big issues. And the day before, her husband went in because he had health issues with his heart or his lungs, because he's been working with chemicals and affected him. Finally, it's just, really doing a number on him, and he can't breathe on his own anymore. And she was helping, trying to minister to him. And then when he got in, then she goes and has a heart attack. See, other things can triple and trick affect you if you're not careful to cast your care on the Lord. Amen? And I like the fact that if you right now prepare yourself to build up resistance about when the time comes, when the trouble comes, you'll stand strong. You don't stand strong and decide to do that the day it happens. Well, you can do it, but it'll be a lot tougher than if you did it, if you start practicing the time before. Jesus said that. So if you start saying every day, I will never be afraid. No matter what happens. I listened to Brother Hagin last night. He said, I always train to everybody. I always train people. The very thing that ever happens to you in life, anything that happens, anything that comes up, ask yourself, what does God's word say about this situation? That thing that helped me so many times in life. What are we going to do now? Well, what does God's word say about it? Well, he has something to say about it, and the devil's a liar. He don't have the last word. I said, he don't have the last word. Like, it might seem like he's got the last word. I mean, you're just hanging on, you know, with your fingernail over the cliff, and he's just ready to push you over. But you only fall 2 inches because he's there to grab you, amen? He thinks he's going to beat you. So this Bible verse is for those people. Now, there's three things in that verse of Scripture that I want to show you about that really will bless you. He says, casting your care, this is King James, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Everybody say you.
You.
So you there means you. Say you means me. So he says in here, there's three things, you know, I want you to see in this verse of Scripture. One is that God knows you personally. God is not surprised when anything happens in your life. You might be, your neighbor might be, your wife might be, but God is never surprised about what's happening in your life. He knows everything comes your way. He has an answer for everything that comes in your life. Now, you might not always feel that way because it's a walk of faith. Number two, God personally cares for every one of your needs. He cares about what's going on in your life, like nobody else will or can. You know, your husband, as much as he loves you, he could never take care of all your longings. Same with your wife. You know, some of you that just got married recently, I don't think nobody here got married recently, but or some of you thinking about getting married recently. Your wife doesn't solve everything. Your husband doesn't solve everything. So, and then when you get into trouble, you don't look at each other to solve the issue. We look together to the Lord. That he's the one who's going to solve the problem. That's pretty good counseling right there, right? I'll take it up an offering. Will that save you today? Eh? It'll save? Okay. I'll take an offering. I'll take checks. Number three, he knows all your needs. He knows your needs personally. Then number three, he will take care of all of your needs. He'll take care of everyone, no matter how bad it is, no matter how big it is, no matter how complicated it is, he will take care of everything. I've seen things, the God taking care of different things. I read, you know, the Bible. You ever read the Bible? I read the Bible every night. I'm looking for something. I don't race to read the Bible at night. My wife does. She reads really fast. I said, why do you read so fast? So we fight that. She reads faster than me, though. But next thing she's going... But anyway, you read the Bible, I realize it's about the Bible. You know, God is so merciful. Yeah. I was reading about Hezekiah, and he did some good things, he did some bad things. And when he died, his son did so many bad things, more than his dad did, and he made all Israel... Like he started building shrines and worshiping idols. Can you imagine that? He did all kinds of stuff, and he built worship places. He built up these Asher poles and all these areas that they were taken down before, and God was mad, you know, because they turned their back on the Lord. And the Lord God sent messengers to him, and he would not receive anything from the messengers, he and the people. Just like you. When God talks to you, you say, no, I don't want to do this, and you go ahead and do something else anyway. And thank God that he's merciful. So he did all this stuff, and then you know what? God allowed another king to come and take him and took him off to Babylon. Put a string in his nose and carried him off. took him into captivity. You know what happens when we don't care, we go into captivity. Whatever you don't control in your life will take you captivity. So it took him captivity. And in his captivity in Babylon, the Bible said he cried out to the Lord. And God heard him. Heard this wicked guy, the wicked king. God heard him and restored him and took him back home. You know, God is so merciful. Just when we think, you know, I'd kill him. You know, I say, yeah, you'd kill that guy, man. But, you know, God goes ahead and saves him. Right? See, God cares for everything about you. If you want to read that, go to 2 Chronicles 33 and read the first, several verses of Scripture. You'll see that Scripture, and then you'll read the chapter before it and read about Hezekiah. You know, when Hezekiah was attacked by, you know, he was attacked because he wasn't trusting God. You have to understand this. When you don't trust God, if you're sane and you're walking with God and you turn deliberately away from God, get out of his will, the enemy will attack you. And he has every right to attack you, and God cannot help you because you're out of his will. Brother Hagin used to say, you know, every time I got attacked physically, he said, I was out of the will of God. Not that I was stole anything, I was cheating on my wife or selling drugs or anything like that. I was just out of the will of God, not doing what God told me to do, and that is to teach whatever he wanted me to teach or travel wherever he wants me to travel, do seminars the way he wanted me to do them. And I got into trouble because I wasn't obeying him, and I got off out of the will of God into the permissive will. And I had a heart attack, he said. And I broke my arm once in church. Fell off down the, you know, as he's preaching. Stairs, steps, yeah. And while he's in the hospital, the Lord says to him, the reason why you got injured is because you got out of my will. And he's in church preaching. Some people in there in church are wondering why they're attacked. Maybe there's something else that's going on in their lives. How do we ever get to this level over here? I mean, we're traveling everywhere. It was Hezekiah, and now we're over here, Brother Hagin. You know, but we gotta, you know, we're talking about burdens and cares because you can get out of trouble. Sometimes, okay, so Hezekiah, he's attacked now. The enemy comes in and attacks him. And so he tells the people, gives them an encouraging word. He said, don't worry about the kingdom there, the kings that are attacking us, these Assyrians. He said, don't you worry about them. They're merely human. We got somebody much more stronger than them. We got God on our side. I want you to know that you got God on your side. Amen. Everybody say, God is with me. Say, God is for me. God is working through me. And here's what Hezekiah said. He said, here Hezekiah says this. He said, you know what? Don't you worry about us because God will fight for me. And here's something about it, that sometimes we think we have to do all the grinding. We get so involved in letting the Lord fight our battles that we're grinding our teeth at night. You go to the dentist, and the dentist says, hey, you're grinding down your teeth. Some of you said, I've already done that. Okay, guys, we'll come back to this care business. I know we want to finish that off. We only got about 4 minutes. Okay, so God knows you personally. God cares for you, all your needs, number two. And then number three, God will take care of every one of your needs. So that you hear in this verse, God is concerned about you and what is happening to you. So John chapter 10, verse 3 says, God knows you by name. He knows you by name. And I woke up this morning and I was reading a Facebook status from a friend of mine, and he's been sober for like 40 some odd years, almost 50 years maybe. I don't know how old he is. No, he's old. But he said, I'm sitting in the, you know, God's wonderful. How many know God's wonderful? You know, I like the fact that that Lisa begin to praise God. And just go ahead and praise God, eh? I like it. I'm going to just go ahead, led by God, praise God. I could just stand there for a long time. And so my friend said this. He said, I'm sitting in a bar downtown Port Arthur here somewhere, smoking a cigarette and drinking, I forget what kind of liquor it was called, some kind of sort of fancy liquor, anyway. He said, I'm dealing with my hangover. You know where that goes. So I'm sitting there, and I'm dealing with my hangover, and I heard a voice say this to me. You don't have to do this anymore, and call him by name. He says, you don't have to do this anymore. And he said he startled me. He said, it startled me. I looked around to see who was talking to me. Then a second time he said, more intensely, the same voice said to me, you don't have to do this anymore. And he said, I walked out of that place and never took a drink again. Wow. Hallelujah. Wow. Amen. That's pretty good, isn't it? Isn't God good? He knows your name. That's why I said he knows your name. He knows every trial you got. You know, sometimes we're looking for some magical solution that God's going to do that like he did to my friend, call him by name. He's not going to call you by name. You already know what to do. You know, Brother Hagin used to say, every time the Lord shows me some spectacular way, it was always tough times ahead. You know, so just keep doing what you're doing. Don't wait for any kind of sign. Just go ahead and do what you know what to do now, and you're going to be okay. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. What's not wonderful, we're not going to finish this message. God knows every one of you. And he cares for you so much, personally. Let's go over here by the name, this despised tax collector. I mean, I wouldn't have cared for that guy. But this guy, here's a despised. God cared for this. Many, many individuals. God dealt with individuals in the Gospels. Not just hordes of people, not just crowds of people healing them, but he dealt with individual people. And this tells me that God knows you and God will deal with you personally. Here's over here, a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 7, New Living says this. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. Verse 2, there was a man there named Zacchaeus. So this man, his name was Zacchaeus. God mentioned this man's name. His name was Zacchaeus. See, God knows you. And if he knows Zacchaeus, he's going to know you. God put this in here. He was a chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore tree beside the road, and for Jesus was going by the past that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and and took Jesus to his house in a great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be a guest in a notorious sinner, they grumbled. See, God cares for everybody. You know, I don't care what people think about you, what they see in you, and how bad, how you shouldn't be getting blessed by God. But God knows, he knows you. He knows all of your cares. I'm not going to read this one, but all of these ones. There's a leper over here. In Mark chapter 1, verse 1, 40 to 42, the Bible says that Jesus came and ministered to the leper. God knew that leper. He cared for him. He loved him. He saw his concern. He saw his anxieties. He saw his heavy burdens. And God came and ministered to him. A woman with the issue of blood, Matthew 9, 20 and 22. Jesus came, a woman who was suffering, 12 years of constant bleeding, the Bible says. And she said, if I can just get to Jesus and touch him, I'll be whole. And Jesus said, woman, your faith has made you well. You know, we see here these people, and we see just ordinary kids. Jesus cared for Matthew 19, verse 13 to 15. Matthew 19, 13 to 15. Jesus, people wanted Jesus to touch their children. They said, no, he didn't want it. He's too busy. Jesus had enough concern that he went to them. See, Jesus cares for you. He wants to be a guest in your home. He wants to touch your children. Amen. I said, he wants to be a guest in your home. Amen. He wants to touch your home, your children. Amen. He came there, and he touched the children. He blessed those children. There was a guy who was demon possessed, a man who was feared and misunderstood in society. He stayed by himself. This man. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 8, the Bible says, he wandered in the graveyard, he hung around there, but God cared for him. And Jesus went directly to that section of town and that area because he needed to see this man. Yeah. See, God cares for you. Yeah. He knows who you are. When we talk about cares, when we talk about casting our cares, it literally means that we're actually throwing something from us, to throw something from yourself, to relieve yourself from holding on to something or carrying something too heavy as a burden. You don't have to carry heavy burdens, according to the Bible. No matter what it is, you can carry it, cast it to the Lord. It's not always easy to throw your cares upon the Lord. The Bible says you cast down imaginations and every high thing that casts itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity every thought. Now, this is something that we must learn to do, and it is dealing with your own thought life, dealing with your own imagination, and capturing thoughts that are not from God, and differentiating these thoughts. This is where the battle is won or lost. This is where many people struggle because they don't know what to do. They think just because they have a thought in their life that they got the burden back and got that they're defeated. No, the burden, those thoughts are going to come. See, you can have faith in your heart and doubt in your head. The devil will try to come and attack you, but you're going to have to stand strong no matter what's happening in your life. Use the weapons that you got. Take your burdens to the Lord, and you must leave it there. Cares, what are cares? Another thing about care is this. That cares are roadblocks. They are there to prevent you from experiencing God's best. Cares will prevent you from experiencing the presence of God, the power of God, and all the blessings that He wants for you in your life. So, God personally cares for you. He loves you. He knows who you are. And His eyes are upon you. And He wants you to cast every care upon Him today. Let's go ahead and stand up. Father, we want to thank you today in the name of Jesus for all the things that you've told us in your word. Hallelujah. We thank you. Let's go ahead and lift our hands towards heaven. Let's go ahead and thank him that he cares for every one of our needs. Lord, we praise you. We cast every care, every burden, every anxiety, everything that's affecting our lives. We bring down thoughts that we consider not your thoughts. Lord God, your thoughts are wonderful thoughts. Thoughts of peace and joy. Thoughts of hope. We cast every care that would say you cannot make it. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Every thought that says that you will not achieve your goals, we cast that to the Lord. Thank you. We bring it down in Jesus' name.